It's amazing. You cannot take any part of this creation with you when you leave this physical form. Nothing. You can't take your mind, your emotions, your imagination, your body, your money, nothing. What then remains? And what is there for you to hold on to now? If all of this is truly nothing, then let go of the nothing. Let go of this unreal place and begin to wake up into the truth of who we are, who you are. Wake up and take hold of that substance that is spirit, that is divine. And when you meditate, that's what you're doing. Every time you choose to sit down, whether it's for 5 minutes or 2 hours, you are choosing for that moment of time to hold your attention above all that is of the physical nature and to wake up into something more. By choosing to hold your attention inward and upward above all that is of the physical elements of self and holding your attention at the seat of the soul, you're making a choice. You're saying, I'm going to put God first right now. And you're giving God an opportunity. You're inviting God in. And that's all God wants. God wants an invitation from you. Participate with me. Walk with me. Live with me. Love with me. Wake me up into who I am in you, in me. And so every time you sit down, and you close your eyes and you hold your attention inward and upward above the mind and into the seat of the soul, and you just say, I love you, Lord, or I chant the name of God, or whatever it is you do, you are inviting God into your life. And every time you invite God in, you're giving a little bit more space in your existence, in your beingness, for God to participate with you. The more you sit down and meditate, the more you're inviting God in. And believe me, once you begin to invite God into your life is going to change. Because God wants only the best for you. God wants you to be joyful, to be happy, to be at peace, and to know where that place resides inside of you so that you can go there anytime you want. In the midst of any storm, a storm in the world or a storm inside this physical form, so that you can be at peace even in the midst of the storm. So invite God in. But don't do it verbally. Don't do it in a prayer. Don't do it in any other way, but sit down, close your eyes, and meditate. That's truly the invitation. We can plead with God, we can beg of God, we can pray all we want. But the real voice that God hears is loving. And the real voice of loving that God hears is that voice that is chanted inside at the seat of the soul in meditation, holding our consciousness, holding our awareness at that place where the divine lives within, and begin to give permission for that divine within us to have dominion and charge over all of this creation. And you're still going to have the storms of the world because you're in the world here physically, and you're going to have to still walk in the world, live in the world, eat in the world, partake of the world, as long as you have this physical form. And so you're going to meet up with the storms in the world. And you're going to meet up with the storms inside as well. But you'll know that still place inside to choose into. Even with your eyes open, even when there's conflict going on inside of yourself or in the world, you'll know where to put your attention to. You'll know what to do inside to bring that stillness forward, to manifest and fulfill that loving inside of you. so that no matter what words are being spoken, no matter what actions are being taken, that you are doing things out of loving. You are putting God first and inviting God into everything that you do, everything that you say, so that you begin to live life as a spiritual being. In this way, you begin to truly fulfill what it is you came here to do. You, soul, came here to fulfill one thing, and that is to wake up even here. Let God wake up here in this creation, in this form, so that God is fulfilled in this nature, in this physical creation, as God is being fulfilled in all of creation. And you are an action of that fulfillment. So allow yourself to truly be that which you are here to be a living action of loving that is God in this creation, and allow yourself to manifest that loving in all that you do, wherever you go. Be a living prayer, be a living blessing, be the living loving that is the Lord that dwells within you, so that God fulfills God here in you, through you, right now. Believe me, there's going to be a day, there's going to be a lifetime, where the God in you truly does fulfill God. And you are awake in that fulfillment, and you do live it to the fullest. And that when you leave this physical form, the God in you says, I am complete. I am done here. Let's go now to what's next. And there's always a what's next. There's never an end to the journey. You'd be amazed if you could begin to look back on the true path of the journey of your soul. Not just in this physical creation, but even before that. And to truly see the path of the journey of the soul that is you, of God that is you, moving throughout all of creation. Not just the physical creation, but all of creation. For fulfillment in all that there is. It's an amazing journey. The challenge in this part of the journey is that state of forgetfulness that resides here. We've entered into it and we have forgotten. We have forgotten the truth of who we are. We have forgotten where we came from. We have forgotten what we came to manifest, to live to the fullest. So now is the time to remember. Now is the time to wake up, to come out of the deep sleep that you've gone into, to stop living the dreams, chasing after the dreams, and wake up into the simplicity of the truth that the divine dwells within you. And that the fulfillment is the awakening. And to awaken into all that is God dwelling in you. And to let go of all those things that are not God. It doesn't mean that you cut off the mind and say, no, I'm not going to ever do the mind again. Cut off your emotions and say, no, I'm not going to ever do the emotions again. Or any other part of this physical creation. But rather you bring them into balance. You bring them into alignment. You stand as the authority and you are in charge of how they express, how they manifest, how they fulfill. You become the living creator. And you are in charge of the creations that now come forth from this spiritual being manifesting in the physical form. Up until now, you may have been creating a lot of things, creating through the emotions, creating through the mind, creating through all of this, but letting those elements be in charge and just create as they ever wanted to. In that way, we do create a lot of illusion. We do create a lot of separation. We do create a lot of unfulfilled learnings. But when we take charge as soul and begin to stand in charge of all that is of the physical nature, everything begins to line up differently. And what used to be the ruler now becomes the great servant. And what used to be creating a muck now becomes creation in alignment with the divine flow of loving. And there's a challenge in there. There's a challenge in there. Because you also find that as you begin to live in that creative action, you begin to let go of a lot of those things in the world that you thought were important. You begin to live a simpler life. You begin to choose to do life differently. And that takes patience. That takes time to allow that to all come in to being. So be patient. Be patient with yourself in this journey, just as it has always been told to us, that patience is a tool that if we use it properly, will see us to the end, see us to the reward, see us to the fulfillment of what it is we want. It is patience and endurance. But I don't see endurance as something that is filled with hardship and difficulty. Oftentimes, when I hear people talk about enduring, it's I'm enduring the pain, I'm enduring the relationship, I'm enduring the hardship. That's not the endurance that we're talking about. Endurance is persistence. It's continuing to choose into that which we know to be true, which has demonstrated to us over time to be true. And to keep living in that more and more until finally there's that day where we're living it almost all the time, if not all the time. And I wish I could say that this pathway is one that once you wake up into God and know God, see the face of God, live in the loving in your meditation and in spirit, that your life is so simple that all the things in the world are solved, answered, all the problems go away. Well, no, the wife's still there. The husband's still there. The children are still there. The neighbors are still there. That car's still in the garage. They don't go away. But you approach them differently. You live in your life differently so that they are no longer hardship and challenge and difficult and painful. They are opportunity. They are joyful. And you just approach life in a different manner. And that's all about patience and perseverance. So be loving with yourself, be accepting of yourself, be forgiving of yourself, and then see how you might do that with others. But remember, it begins at home. It begins with you. If you're going to love your neighbor as yourself, you better love yourself first so that you truly love your neighbor. If you're going to forgive, accept, love your neighbor, do it with yourself first. And it all just falls into place automatically after that. Once you love yourself, you love everybody. And life does change. So why don't we open it up for a few minutes of question and answer? Because when we were in meditation, there were several voices coming through with questions. Maybe we've answered a few of them in our sharing, but we'll also go ahead and open it up for questions and just go from there. And Callie's here to run the mic for us.
And here's our other lovely host.
So anybody have a question or something you'd like to share?
Jim already knows this because I emailed him and I told a few people when I came in. And I think Brian knows by the look on his face because Jim probably told you. But I just want to let everybody know that I got married 2 weeks ago, on tomorrow, and I'll be moving back to New York at the end of March. And I'm going to miss you all a lot. I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss the energy. But I'm really excited. Ron and I have known each other for 14 years, and he finally decided that it was time. And I tried. I tried to meet other people, but it just didn't work for me. And I really appreciate so much your talk today, both of you, because it really speaks to kind of where I'm at right now. And I look at going into my life with Ron as a huge opportunity. We have our issues. They're not going to go away overnight. But he's been my project for the last 14 years. He's been my project to try to love someone or love something, a person, because I can love my cat unconditionally easily. That's a different thing. But to love someone as consistently and unconditionally as possible. And this is a great opportunity for me to continue that. But to do it in a situation where we've made a commitment to each other to be in the same household and to kind of merge our individual lives and create something else. So I just want to tell everybody that I will miss you all so very much. This has been the highlight of my stay here in Austin for the last 2 years. I can't believe that I'm turning into a little crying pot here, but I really will. I'll miss it so much. But I just want to thank you all also just for being who you are. And anytime you come to New York, I'll definitely be on the mailing list. You can, call up the ILM office and get my number and, call me. And I'll make every effort I can to, get with you and, show you New York if you've never been there. Or if you have, we'll just go out and play. Okay? That's it.
Well, congratulations and thanks for sharing. We'll miss you, but you'll be here energetically and we'll be with you also in all of it. I guess we were gone for 8 weeks and no questions came up. That's pretty good.
And you're welcome to come back anytime you want. Come out for a meditation retreat sometime.
Yeah.
Sure.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, just a question. Are all the levels the same in length or depth? Meaning, is the astral more vast than the emotional or the mental? Is the unconscious bigger or smaller? Just a weird question I thought I'd throw your way.
Weird questions are the kind we deal with.
So the weird one will answer it.
That was you, I believe.
Oh, he was talking to the weird in me that you.
Oh, it's... I'm going to give you an answer, but just realize that when we start delving into measuring things beyond the physical, good luck. Because truly you can't measure that which is beyond the physical. But in an attempt to make sense to the mind, if you can think of each level, the densest of vibration is the smallest. And each time you increase the frequency or vibration, it expands, so it's bigger and bigger and bigger. So you could say, in a sense, the physical is the smallest. Then the astral is bigger than the physical, but smaller than the causal. Then you expand So the causal would be larger than the astral, but smaller than the mental. Then in the mental, it's bigger than the causal, and so on and so forth. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So if you can think of it more as an expansion of consciousness, that when you wake up fully into God, you could say God's largest and everything is contained within God. So the smallest part of God is the densest part, called the physical level. And these are all just states of frequency or vibration. And in greater truth, you can't even measure that, even physically. Because if it's all an illusion, then what is measurement anyway? Mm-hmm. I mean, just like a lot of modern physics is finding out with all this string theory and everything else going on, you start to go beyond measurement. That's why they're so challenged, because they can't measure these things. They're getting so far out in certain things in physics, but yet then it just kind of goes out and dissipates. It turns invisible again, and they don't know what to do with it because they can't get a hold of it or measure it. And such as it is, there's no real measurement. But if you read different, like the Sant Mat books in the back, they'll talk about, or different spiritual pathways, we'll talk, they give voice in a different way of like what I'm saying. They'll say, you know, like the physical level sun, they'll often refer to it as a sun. There's one sun here, it's big, put it that way. But then when they say the sun of the astral realm, I don't remember, it's been years since I've read that, is like something like 8 times bigger in experience compared to the physical sun. And you go to the causal and they'll say that's like 16 suns greater or something than the astral. This is the way that I've read that it's been described by other mystics throughout the ages in that way. So there's great reading that can refer to that, you know, in that way if you'd like to pursue that. But just understanding the simplicity, just think of it as expansion. The greater the frequency, the bigger it is. The denser the frequency, the smaller it is, such as the physical. Does that help that, answer that?
That answers some of it. We'll go ahead and add a little part to it. We know that there's sub-levels in the different planes. Is there sub-levels in the physical?
The easiest way that I refer to that, I just think of the chakra systems. You know, I mean, here the crown chakra referred to as often as the entry point for the Holy Spirit. The third eye often is for the soul. Throat chakra, you could say the microcosm of the macrocosm, like the etheric level. Heart chakra, I just keep going on. Heart chakra, you know, emotional chakra, reproductive, and the root chakra. I look at those as more the sub-levels within the physical realm. But that's also what I call the microcosm of the macrocosm. It's like you hear everything right in here in this microcosm is simply, in a sense, a reflection of the macrocosm. That's where we're all connected and it's all one, even in that physical sense. But again, that's just dealing with the realm of time and space.
Well, as you all know, I had an experience. I died in the hospital with a heart attack. So the next question then goes, what level was it that I went to visit?
What level you think you went to visit?
I would say it would be a lower astral.
Mm-hmm. There's indicators, and your experience will quite often let you know. And you're pretty clear, I think, with what it is because of the different experiences. But also, in truth, remember the soul, truly the nature of the soul is free. So the soul can go in and out of any level, really. It's just that we're going to experience whatever we need to experience for the soul's journey of awakening. And so if you happen to have an experience on a lower astral plane or any plane, just look at that, well, that's just part of my journey. And that was an experience I had because there's something there, an opportunity of learning and growing. And it's only by walking through the experience do we learn and grow. We don't learn by thinking about it. We learn by experiencing. So now you know what that is because you experienced it. That doesn't mean you're stuck there. Remember that.
Right. And I got that impression too. The the best thing out of the whole thing was that I got to see what a perfect reflection it was to the physical.
See, now that's a great awareness. That's a great awareness. And I'll let you have this one too. When you begin to awaken and see and you really have the greater clarity, that's usually an indicator that the karmas are really completing. Because you see, we learn by walking through. And once we walk through and have learned the lessons, we're done with the lessons. But it's a gradual. As Jim said, patience is key here because it's gradual. You know, just like you don't learn first, second, third, any of the grades overnight. You have to go over and over and over, and then you go through the whole course, and then you complete it. So you're completing that lesson and learning so that you can now begin to move beyond it. So just know this is a step in your journey to the greater freedom of living the soul that you are. So that way you never feel trapped because you had some experience that wasn't too pleasant, I like to say.
In the beginning it was scary, but now I really feel much more freed of it.
There you go. That's great.
Next.
I thought Callie was going to share. She is sharing silently.
And if we sit long enough, somebody will do it. You know, it's so funny. There'll be that niggling little energy inside going, ask it. Come on, hurry up. You know, but we hold back. We don't do it because we don't want to talk on the mic or we don't want to voice something because we think everybody else is going to judge it or whatever it is that we do. And I can remember years ago when I first met my first physical spiritual teacher and sitting in the classroom and he'd say, okay, we're going to open it for questions. So who has a question? And nobody would raise their hand. And he'd point, he'd go, you have a question. Ask it. I'm leaving if you don't ask. And they'd all sit there for a little bit, and then all of a sudden everybody would start raising their hand, even people that he didn't point to, and go, no, I pointed to the ones I'm going to answer to, so you ask them. And I realized that if I just would follow that movement and just do it, I'd get the answer I needed to move forward to the next level. But if I held back and I walked away out of the classroom, I'd have to carry that and become a greater obstacle rather than of assist to me. So don't let things sit with you if you can find a way to move it to get clarity. Clarity always helps in waking up more. Go ahead. Sorry.
I just got back from my trip too, or went lots of different places, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Tokyo, Bangkok, all around Thailand. And so I had the opportunity, whenever I'm in especially a large place where there's a lot of people, like airports, I place the light columns. I do that everywhere I go every day anyway. But I really feel excited in a big place where there's really a lot of people that's going to benefit, you know, from this. And I do it in your name, and I always say, and may God keep this light here as long as he wants it to be here. How long do those light columns stay in those places I put them?
They'll stay there as long as God wants them to be there, as long as there's a reason for them to be there. It has nothing to do with, you know, did I do it right? Did I do it enough? Should I stay there longer? Or what the people there do with it or don't do with it. It's you ask God to anchor something there, and God's going to hold it there, and it'll be there as long as it's going to be needed.
Okay. So it's good to go back and do it again if you have the opportunity when you're... Because I do that all the time anyway. Yeah. I do it again and again and again the same place.
If you can, that'd be great. So when I first moved here to Austin, I went down to the Capitol building and to walk around to take a look. And as I was walking around, all of a sudden I walked right into this light column in the very center of the Capitol Dome. That was in 1980. God, where did that come from? How come that's there? I had no idea. So every month I would go down there and just be in that and to ask it to be, you know, maintained in its clarity. Then in March of 1984, I met my second spiritual teacher, which was John Roger. And we happened to be on a trip together when I met him. And we were sitting at dinner one time, and he had said, he said, oh, well, I've been to Austin. I know a lot about Austin. I said, and it dawned on me. I went, have you ever been to the Capitol building? He goes, yeah. Why? And I go, did you plant a light column there of some kind, a column of light? And he goes, are you aware of that? And I go, yeah. I go down and I be with it, and I hold for it every month. He goes, oh, that's a good action, but I have never had anybody actually walk in and experience and know that I had planted something there. So, yeah, they do
that. That's interesting because I didn't have that vivid experience, but I had a sense in Tokyo Airport that there was one already there.
I'm sure there is.
So I just did my own again and just say add to it or whatever, but I did have that sense in Tokyo.
That's great.
The Tokyo Airport.
Yeah, you can actually do it long distance. You don't have to go back there and be there physically.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm not here every month. I just ask that all the light columns I've ever planted be aligned and re-energized in God's loving, however God wants it to be done. And it's done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You don't have to fly back to Thailand or unless you want to. But it's not a spiritual obligation.
That's great. That's a great thing to know.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. Thank you.
Talk to Bill about it. He knows a lot about it.
The one in Tokyo?
Yeah.
Oh, there goes another hand.
I know you've talked a lot about us being responsible for our creations, and also you said we're only responsible for ourselves.
Not me, that's just him. I'm the irresponsible one.
Right. But when you're in a very close relationship with someone else and things come up, how do you know this problem is happening, whether because I created it or it's just their situation? How do you pull that apart, or how do you know what's your creation or what's just their situation?
The whole thing's a learning experience. I always start with myself first, and I have found that as I really come to know myself and what my own experience and process is, that in the awakening to knowing what that is inside of me, then I begin to recognize what's going on for other people. And so that's how I stay clear, what's mine, what's yours. And then there's another level that I say, well, there's this thing I say that's just in the air that we could call karma. So anybody involved in that karmic pattern or that thing in the air, we each have our own process, but it'll look like it's always the other person. That's where the finger pointing and blaming. But if we look to ourselves, we'll see it's going on inside and it's going on in them because we've been drawn together to work out the karma, to learn the lessons of what that is to teach us. But how do you learn the lesson? It's always come back to yourself, no matter what. Come back to yourself. And as you come back to yourself, you'll begin to learn a lesson and get the greater freedom inside of yourself. And in that greater freedom, in that loving, because it is freedom, nothing can truly attach to it. But as you move into the freedom, that's how you move out of attachment. That's how you let go and detach yourself from things in the world, mentally, emotionally, physically. So in a sense, it doesn't matter if it's somebody else's or yours, it's the same process. You let it go, but how do you let it go? By moving into the freedom, which is loving. And so it's always coming back into your own loving. And if you can't seem to find a way into that loving through the meditation, then it's called do the loving. I love myself, I love you, I love God. Acceptance, forgiveness. And work that process internally. And as you do that, you'll begin to see, like I say, you know the phrase, somebody's projecting on us? And you doing that and coming to know yourself and knowing what's yours, you'll begin to be more aware of the energies that are projected on us from outside of oneself. And then when you see that, it's easy to just say, oh, that's not mine. You're not mine. So I just let you go and let you go back to the source from which you've come. And when you do it that way, it's done out of freedom and blessing. And then, in a sense, you're sending it back to its source with a blessing of loving on it. So when it does go back to its creator, remember, the creator is the one responsible for what they create, then the creation goes back with a blessing of loving that actually is a wonderful action of service for them that they can begin to learn through their experiences and what they're doing. And often why we project on one another, that's how we learn in this world. It's a world of reflection. So in order to see the reflection, what do? We project out so we can see what it is. When we project it out, we get to see it, and that's how we learn. And that's how the world works. But the way to begin now to wake up beyond the learning of the world or the learning of reflection, that's the inner pathway where we begin to pull back our projections. So no longer do we have to follow the path of reflection, which is the way of the world, but we begin now to go inwards and upwards beyond the reflection, the direct pathway of spirit, which is loving, that has nothing to do with reflection. But the nice thing is, when you follow that pathway, in a sense, you move to higher levels of reflection. So you have greater understanding of all the reflections below that until you've removed yourself out of the world of reflection, time and space. So it's always come back to LAF, loving, acceptance, forgiveness. Know the loving in you. And on a practical level, when I've done all the inner work, hours, days, whatever it is, and it just doesn't seem to move, that's when I begin to look, okay, is this some karma in the world that is for me to involve myself in, and through my participation I'm going to learn and grow? And that's usually when I'll take the steps physically in the world through relations, communications, actions, whatever it may be, with other people that I just can't seem to move it inside of myself. And then I find, as I do that, well, one, because I've done all the inner work to get free inside first, at least I'm moving myself into a greater place of loving, so then when I go do that thing in the world, the loving goes with me, and that's my focus. And so then when I go and do it, then the loving comes with me, and then in my actions, in participation in the world with others, by walking through the experience, then all of a sudden the aha, the learning, the understanding comes, because it was a physical karma that I had to walk through. But I was walking through it with open eye, spiritually. So that you do it with the intention of learning, of awakening, freedom. And then it's just a process of relating with people. I always ask questions. When I'm not sure, I'll ask somebody. When I'm not sure of something in myself, I'll ask myself. If I'm not sure of a communication or something, if I feel a tension with another person, sometimes I'll just outright ask them. You know, it's like, this is what's going on inside of me. I don't know what to do with it. I just can't seem to get free of it. So I wanted to talk with you to see if there's something that maybe in our talking could begin to dissolve that tension so that I could once again move to greater freedom. That's the practical level. I like to call communication communion in action, because I try to do the communications with loving so that I get free. Not trying to get my way, but trying to get free and out of the way of whatever's causing the reaction. And I have found that when truly my intention is loving, and it'll come through in the sincerity and authenticity, and people will get that if I'm really coming from that place. If I'm not, then the reaction comes back and they get my reaction. And that's part of the learning, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll do one more, Raquel, and then we'll call it a day.
I wanted to ask about the Christie House, where Nick and I have been going and spending some time with folks there. The perception I've had there is that there's some great actions of loving and acceptance and forgiveness and healing going on. I wanted to ask you about that. To elaborate a little bit on more, that is it all just on this level, or is, I get the sense that there's things going on other levels there for some people that are involved.
There's a lot of levels of action taking place, both inside each individual as well as on a spiritual, physical action. So it's multidimensional. And once a person begins to do forgiveness within themselves, that energy of forgiveness begins to move throughout all of creation. It's an amazing ripple action that takes place when we begin to move something, like drop a pebble into a pool of water. That ripple action goes out and affects the whole surface. If we as an individual do forgiveness within ourselves and truly forgive something, that begins a ripple effect of forgiveness that affects the whole surface of creation in truth. So definitely whatever is taking place there individually and collectively has a much greater effect on all of creation in its own way.
Okay, yeah, I wondered about the collectiveness of it.
Yeah. Well, we all come together because of our destinies. We're all drawn together magnetically, polarity-wise, to a place, and there's a reason why that is. It's because we have something to learn together. We have something to support each other in, and so we allow that to happen.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that Caper is saying it's over. Time to go, time to go. Take me out, I want to go play.